This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Gilmail guys.
Gilmail guys.
Kevin and Demi.
Talking about mail.
Females and mail. Remember when we used to call this, what's itching in the mailbag?
No.
We did. Well, not these episodes, but in season one, we referred to mail as like, let's see what's itching in the mailbag.
Oh, boy. We got real Blues Clues with it, and then we were like, let's not do that.
It is such a... The first season of this show...
You know what sucks about the first season of the show?
Yeah.
Is that was when we were supposed to, like, of course, like, everyone's like, stop it with all the newbie guests, but it's like, that's when we had to have newbie guests, but it was also when we were getting our footing.
Right.
It was when we had more freedom, but we shouldn't have had more freedom because that's what got people into the show.
Right. And that's when people newly hear about the show, they start from the beginning.
Right.
As you would. And it's just like, it's us going on for 20 minutes, like, what do you think you want to find in a wife or whatever?
Right.
Pilot.
Of course, I don't blame anyone for stopping listening, but I also feel bad. I'm like, jump into the middle somewhere. But I'm like, that's also stupid.
Well, I almost want to put like a pre-roll on that first episode, being like, first season's weird, just get through it.
Yeah.
Jason Mantzoukas is coming.
If they don't get through it, they're lost. That's what I believe.
I mean, yeah. So it's, you know, it's one of those things. But anytime someone tweets like, oh, I just started listening to season one, I'm always like, it gets better. Stick with us.
So people keep going like, hope they get some guests that finally like the show. And I was like, most of our, like, we've had maybe 5 people that don't like the show. Yes.
Okay. Ben Rogers.
Mm-hmm. Kate Spencer.
Ryan Husky. And, Anna Lore was ambivalent about
it,
I guess.
She was trying to be nice about the show, but afterwards she did say, like, the truth is I don't care about Gilmore Girls.
Right.
But it wasn't, like, evident on her.
It wasn't, like, actively hating.
Right.
Eliza Skinner didn't like it,
right.
I guess. So I guess it's 4.
Yeah.
So I guess it's 4.
I mean, yeah, but it's not, like, every... Like, it just happened so much in the early... Because that was when we had to bring on people who didn't... We're not going to wait until, like, season 5, now that everyone knows us. Let's get some guests who don't like this show.
We didn't know Aisha. We didn't know...
Right.
You know, we weren't in touch with these people, so...
Also, some of your favorites didn't watch the show before this podcast.
That's
so
true. Patty. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't know Patty Walsh.
Trolley, Jamie, Allie.
People.
So many people who are now ahead of us in the show.
Trolley, Jamie, Allie. Trolley, Jamie, Allie. Trolley, Jamie, Allie. Trolley, Jamie, Allie. I know, Pat. I have to say, I know we put out 2 episodes of 517, but man,
I'm glad we did.
So am I. I just don't want it to be like, oh, the live show sucks, so here's the real one. It was just complimentary, because I have to say, Patrick Walsh being like, ladies, if there is a Logan in your life, you need to break up with, I want you to break up with him.
I love that so much.
So...
Someone did tweet at us, Patrick Walsh may have just convinced me to dump my boyfriend, which it was a public tweet, so I was
like,
I hope that happened, and I hope your boyfriend follows you on Twitter.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Right?
Well, I mean, hopefully he doesn't if she's tweeting that.
Look,
but...
hopefully he does, and he deserves it, because Logan's getting no respect. Am I right,
Logan's
ladies?
Be tripping.
Logan's be tripping. That's my new tattoo.
I talked about this with Sarah Hayward, but I'm finding my Logan defenses are coming down a lot.
Dad.
So
I say dad as in, like, you know what? Keep your Logan defenses up. We're still getting into Logan as a character, and this is not me saying, like, he could turn out to be a good guy, but it's like who you like. I don't care.
Well, here's what it is. I think I just made a mistake in attaching myself to any team because I get hateful emails directed to me.
It's so crazy. That's another thing. People get really upset on which characters we like. And I don't, like, if you don't yell at cast members for all of them, like, almost unanimously loving Dean.
that's another thing.
So,
talk about
lay off. All of the boyfriends are bad, but they're all good because Rory liked them at a certain point.
Let's take the approach that Megan Amram takes to TV. I like them all.
I do, yeah. You know, it's funny because she was joking, but I watched like an episode of The Big Bang Theory the other day and I was like, oh, I don't hate this. And then I realized I like everything.
Bill Prady.
Bill Prady.
There's
Slim Shady.
I mean, Birth of a Nation. Don't like that.
I mean, it's got some. No, I'm kidding. I'll defend it.
It's got some ideas, man.
It's pretty rip. I will say, no joke. When they taught us Birth of a Nation in film school, they were like, "It's messed up, but it was revolutionary for the time."
Yeah. Oh,
which is like true.
I guess it's true. Yeah. Right. Like Citizen Kane. Messed up, but revolutionary.
Yeah, everyone talks about how fucked up Citizen Kane is.
That one scene where he does heroin? Come on now. So, Demi, I'm so glad you're...
Real quick,
yeah.
Just want to talk about my defense of Birth of a Nation 5 seconds ago. Not real. Don't...
just so we know.
Just so we know, not about it. Continue.
There's an implicit bit zone that I think can be judged by the tone of our voice.
I just think sometimes...
It's not implicit.
It becomes blurry, you know? Yeah. It's like, you too, no light on the horizon. I don't know when the bit zone ends. I don't know when the bit zone ends, where I begin, where I end, and bit zone begins. Radiohead ref. Slam dunk. Harlem. I'm sorry. Let's go.
It's like U2, where the bits have no name.
Exactly.
And if we don't give them names, then...
Octoon bit boy.
Octoon bit boy. I still haven't found what I'm looking for.
I haven't either. That's why we're still in the bit zone.
That's true. Well, Demi, I'm so glad you were resurrected back from the dead. You were dead.
I know, which was a bummer.
Yeah.
But, you know, some things are good about being dead.
And the magic potion that brought you back to life is I peed on your grave.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, but I drank a magical potion before doing so.
You could have just poured the potion on the grave. You know, yeah, bygones, bygones.
Let bygones be bygones. So we got a lot of emails, none of which I've screened today,
ooh,
which is always like a fun...
Always a joy.
But
truly it is.
Yeah.
It's unedited.
That might be my favorite way to do it.
I agree, because then we get some that's like, all right, we should have screwed. All right.
Yeah. So here we go. 15 seconds long.
Hey, guys. This is Carissa. I was wondering what you look forward to most about spending time with your families during Christmas.
Ah.
And, of course, if that includes any Texas things, feel free to say that as well. Bye.
I mean, I am desperate for my niece and nephew's approval 24/7.
I'm just desperate for my parents' approval.
That too.
Yeah.
Well, you know what is nice? It'll be nice to my brother and sister-in-law will be coming to our show in Dallas, and they've never seen it before. Everyone else in my family has.
Right.
What are you going to say?
No, I'm thinking now, my parents are also coming to the Dallas show. I'm realizing now, my mom and sister have watched Gilmore Girls, and they were texting me a while ago saying like, oh, we're on the episode where Rory dresses up for Dean for a lunch or something. And now I'm like, my dad hasn't watched Gilmore Girls and I really just want to record, because my intention is to watch the episode with all of them while we're on vacation.
Oh, how fun.
And then I want to just like bombard them with questions while we're in the audience about it, which should be
sure.
fun for us. So I just want to gauge my dad's reaction to Gilmore Girls and
yeah.
see what he thinks, because he's also the kind of person who's like, I like everything, but he'll also just, he'll be like, this isn't for me, but he'll still tell me everything about an episode.
Yeah.
So that should be fun. Christmas wise, I'm excited to, I don't see my parents very often or talk to them very often.
It's strange.
Weird.
Once you move to LA, it's
yeah.
like, eh, maybe 5 times a year, if
right.
that.
I'm very bad with calling my parents. Like, I had to set a reminder just like every 3 days, just be like, call my mom, just say hello.
Yeah.
Because I was really bad at forgetting. So I'm excited to see them again. And just, we're going to be in Austin for Christmas. So I'm going to try and plan a bunch of, my parents do this thing where every time we get together, we just play board games. Like, she's like, all right, pick a board game we haven't played and bring it to Christmas, and then we'll all just play it. And it's really fun, so.
But aren't most board games, well, I guess not if you're playing for the first time.
Aren't most board games the same?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is why I try to find the weirdest one, or I just go, hey, here's a game me and my friends have been playing, and it's something awful. There's this board game called Resistance that I've been playing, and I've literally never played a round where everyone isn't angry at the end of it. So that's going to be fun to bring to Christmas.
Wait, is that the one where Tim Chang?
Yes. Yes. My friend Tim Chang, I introduced this game to a group of our friends, and basically... Like, Tim Chang got really mad.
It's
and
the funniest video
I've
ever
so
seen.
I posted it on Instagram. I basically started recording video of Tim Chang yelling, and he noticed that I was recording, so he just goes, hey, man, fuck Demi. Fuck Demi's followers, man. Fuck Gilmore Guys. Fuck Gilmore Girls. Fuck.
He indicted the show.
He really
the game.
Did. It was so funny. It's a game that incites anger, and it's going to ruin Christmas, and I can't wait.
That'll be fun. The Porterhouse mainstays, as far as games go, are catchphrase... sometimes categories, but definitely loaded questions. That's a big fun one for us.
My parents love categories.
I think the hardest we've ever laughed as a family is playing loaded questions back in like November 2009, I want to say.
So. I remember we went to Dubai to meet with some of my Nigerian cousins because they can't come to the U.S. or whatever. It's not important. But it was like a big group of the Adejuibe family, and I introduced them to Fishbowl, also known as Celebrity. Which
love Fishbowl.
It's so good.
Yeah.
But it's so funny because they have such a different cultural set of references. They were pulling things out, and they'd be like, oh, it's the guy, the Nigerian guy, and everyone would go, Jonathan. And I'm just like, who the fuck is this?
Who's Jonathan?
Exactly. No, see, in my head, I just go, Jonathan's just a name. But everyone's like, no, he's like someone from the government. I truly couldn't even tell you. But like, he's an important Nigerian.
Is that a real figure. Example? Jonathan?
Yes.
Jonathan Nigerian?
No, I think Jonathan's his last name. But he's like, I don't want to say he's the Obama, but he's like someone important in Nigerian commerce. And now I'm just like, ugh. But so it's so funny that everyone in the room was like, oh, yeah, except for me and my sister who were like, we've got Bieber in here. But it's so fun to do that with your family because you just get a sort of it's the same thing as coming with friends where you go, look, everyone in the room has to know. But there are clearly some things you're not going to know. So you sort of bond over that misunderstanding.
Yeah.
It's great.
The Venn diagram, or you really try to cater it, or it's like with our family, it just becomes like mutual friends we all have or people we know.
Right.
Loaded questions is great for a group of people that you know super well.
Right.
And because then all your answers can be bits. Here's another. Oh, and a Texas related thing, Carissa, I'd say the queso. I want to get Mexican food when I'm home.
You try the queso? Who's trying the queso? Who's trying the queso?
I've heard about the queso. I haven't tried it
I still
it yet.
Am so embarrassed about that.
We redeemed it.
Yeah, I know, but still.
We should have had queso in the studio.
We should have. We really screwed that up.
Yeah. We asked the queso on that one, if you know what I mean.
I don't.
That should be a slang for like...
Oh, ask the queso for...
Making a mistake is like, oh, well, she really asked the queso question on
I like
that,
that
one.
I like that.
All right, here we go. Here's another email.
Hey, this is Stephanie, and I kind of have a personal question for you guys. As soon as I've listened to podcasts, that Kevin has to side with Timmy way more than the other way around.
Like, what?
Maybe Kevin's opinions aren't as honored. And I'm wondering if you guys ever get an argument outside of the podcast.
What?
Oh, okay.
I can feel a little tension. We love the show. Bye.
Well, I didn't understand the
words. She's saying that a lot of times when there are opinion differences, you end up siding with me rather than the other side around. She's wondering if we ever get into arguments outside of the podcast.
No.
But
not
also,
about characters.
The thing about characters, and I said this like when we had guests on that didn't like the show, is that a lot of our times, our opinions are not that strong. If I'm like, I don't like this character. Someone can be like, well, he does this. I'll be like, yeah, that's true. But I think it happens from Kevin coming to me a lot because I start, like, I just get very, like, ranty about a thing. And Kevin will be like, that's a good point. But it's not so much that I'm right. It's just that I'm louder.
Well, and I think, too, it is a nostalgic attachment to this is what I felt growing up. So these are opinions I formed at maybe like 14 or 15 years old.
Right.
And then revisiting them, I'm like, I think I go into it thinking a thing. And I'm like, maybe, I don't know. I just feel very easily swayed all
I also
the time.
Think I'm,
I have no identity.
I'm generally just more abrasive, I feel like. Like, even in email and Twitter responses, I tend to yell at people a lot more than you do. I don't know what it is. I'm at a certain point, I'm just like, no, I'm not doing this.
Well, I remember there's been a few emails where I'll be like, oh, sorry you didn't like that. Thanks for listening. Bye.
And then I'll come in later and be like, hey, I just saw that. What the fuck?
Yeah, that happens. Yeah. It's a yin and yang thing. I think it works.
Yeah.
We're
the devil and angel on your shoulder.
We're both generally respectful.
Yes.
But no, we don't. If the question was, do we get into arguments about characters about the show off mic?
No.
No, not really.
It's funny, I've gotten into arguments with other people off mic, well, obviously off mic, but it's never the kind of thing where we're just like, come to my, like, you don't understand, like, it's eventually, it's just like, I don't understand how you like that character. It's like, oh, he gets better later. All right.
I know. It's the, It'll be, that's why I want to do the trials of all the boys.
Yeah.
Once we're completely done.
Yeah.
Even if it's just like a mini thing, not like a big event.
Right.
But just like, let's take all the info. We have all 7 years. But then are people going to say, well, we don't know what's happening in the Netflix episode.
That,
so let's
there's literally nothing that could happen in the Netflix episodes yeah. to make like... They're set. Their characters are set in stone.
They're done.
It's not like Dean's going to come back and just be like, you know, I've been dealing with a brain parasite for the past few years.
I've been doing some missions work in China. And
I crawled on my knees to the Spanish Basilica and asked for forgiveness. Please. Yeah, it's whatever.
Jess is the editor of the New York Times.
I would love it.
And Logan. Oh, but that'd be Logan's thing more. Because his dad's a newsman.
Well, wouldn't he want to break away from Papa's dime? Papa's Penny?
Well, but maybe he doesn't. I don't know. We'll see.
Oh.
Hey, this is Anna from LA. My question is whether, I guess it's a two-parter, whether A, you think it's hypocritical for Lorelai to hate Logan based on his family, because by that logic, I mean, Luke was right to leave her based on her family being crazy. Because she's in the same situation as Logan. She has, you know, rich parents that are overbearing and try to control her life. And then do you think that that's intentional by the show, that we're supposed to see that parallel of, like, Logan is Lorelai? I mean, in a sense. Let me know what you think. All right, bye.
Wait, first of all, does Lorelai hate Logan's family, or is that in a future episode?
I think that's in a future episode. Okay. Well, because here, I'll speak to it this much. I think the reasons Lorelai doesn't like Logan is because of Logan. And then his family's a part of that, too.
Yeah.
It's not just a family thing. Luke doesn't, or what's the parallel or the reverse of it? I don't think it's the same thing.
I will say that the people bring up parallels between Logan and Lorelai a lot, and they are there for sure. But I think all the things I don't like about Lorelai are the things that I also don't like about Logan. Like, Logan doesn't have the moments where he breaks down and is, like, earnest and not sort of smarmy or, like...
You could say the Joker never takes his makeup off.
Exactly. He doesn't even have that scene where he's hiding, pretending to be one of the
nurses?
Funeral...
Or one of the funerals.
Yeah, no, that parallel does not work here. But, the Joker never takes his makeup off.
Yeah.
But, what were we...
Is it hypocritical of Lorelai to dislike him?
No. I mean, again, this is where we are in the series. Like,
yeah, 519.
She doesn't really know Logan. She only knows what Logan is doing to Rory, and that's what she hates.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally get it.
I get it, too.
Yeah.
You swayed me, Demi. I'm going to join your side.
Thank you. It's about time.
No, I really want to consider it, though, because I do... Yeah, even for future stuff, without speaking to it too much, I always think, like, at the core of it, it's he's treating you this way. And the family stuff is not helping, but it's always about Logan. Even right. in 519, we saw that. Like, honey, maybe you should let him bolt, blah, 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 da-da-da. So I do think it ends up being Logan. It's not, I don't think it's the same as Luke. Respectfully. Okay, here we go.
Hi, Gilmore guys. This is Sarah. I live in Nashville. And yay! I have a question that I can't believe has never been addressed, at least not in my memory.
Is Michelle Black?
Leaving relative age and appropriateness to your own ages out of it, which Gilmore Girl would you want to date? And which one do you fancy, Rory or Lorelai? I'm leaving Trix out of it because R.I.P.
Are you really in Nashville?
And I'm leaving Emily out of it because she's a married woman, and that's not okay.
Oh, no,
so
married woman?
Let me know what you think, and please come visit us in Nashville sometime. We would love to have you. Bye!
There's a slight accent
yeah.
there, right?
And Sarah it's not is Nashville. Not from Nashville.
You
unless
deceived
she,
us,
she
Sarah.
Grew up in the one part of Nashville that's all British residents. No.
Well, there's something. In New Jersey, there's a area called Texas where everyone has a southern accent.
That's insane.
Isn't that weird?
I love it, but that's insane. It reminds me of like the American restaurant in Arrested Development. Where
here's your nachos.
Yeah. Okay, which one of the... I feel like maybe we have a dress. I don't know. Which one of the Gilmore
Girls...
Have
we never talked about that?
First of all, if we haven't, kudos to us, but...
I think, like we were talking about the first season, a lesson we learned was maybe that we don't bring our personal lives into it too
right.
much, or our personal tastes.
We're not going to be like, honestly, dude, I'd totally lay it down on Rory. That's. I realize that my impression just now doesn't work if you can't see me.
Brother.
Oh, yeah, brother.
We're going to the town of Pounding.
Bone Zone Population 2. It's me and Paris. No,
But I think she's saying of the two.
Wait, of Lorelai and Rory?
I think.
Oh.
In which case, Lorelai.
Yeah, yeah, I guess Lorelai. She just seems like she'd be more fun.
Would Rory be able to, like, share laughter in the same way I feel like I could with Lorelai? You know what I mean?
Right.
Where we're making each other laugh all the time. And, but I mean, I guess she does with her mom, but I just don't see her. What is her at her most joyful in a relationship with a boy? Like, where they're, like, at their happiest, they're grinning, they're making jokes. Where's her?
Her with Logan flirting. And
where's,
like,
her Nashville with Aziz and Noelle Wells? What's that?
Yeah, where is that?
Yeah.
I think just with Logan on the campus, like, the moments where it's, like, she just goes, dope, and then picks up the coins, and they're just walking through the campus. That was, like, the flirtiest, happiest we've seen her. That isn't, like, on the back of some problem.
Or maybe after, in 519, after he conceded to being in a relationship with her.
Yes, but even that was sort of weird.
Yeah.
There was something about that that was just, like, he's like, I'm going to be the best boyfriend. And she's, like, it just felt, like, too, it didn't feel natural.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't feel Robert Redford.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Where is there Nashville?
Where
is there Nashville? That's a good parallel.
Well, you know what it is too? I feel like that should kind of be a standard of relationships on TV.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a high standard, but
I don't think the question was between Lorelai and Rory.
You don't think it was?
If we go outside of that scope, who?
Oh,
Madeline and Louise.
Both?
Big love.
Big love, all right. It's going to be big love. I would say Lorelai. I would say...
To a degree, I would say Paris, but I would be so afraid that Paris would break up with me at every given moment.
I know.
That's real. Like,
I think Paris would leave me when she discovers what a fraud I am.
But at the same point, wouldn't you be like, yeah...
You're right. I deserve it. Yeah, I'm going to go with Lorelai still.
All right.
I still think she has the best to offer out of our main, either her or to gender swap, or I would do Alex, her ex-boyfriend, a carnival of chemistry and charisma.
Yeah, so you can go coffee tasting?
Yeah, that's right.
That sounds like a real
coffee.
Joy.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
in theaters now.
What?
Joy.
Oh, I get it. Well, by the time, yeah. If we go gender swap, who else can we consider?
I mean, if we go gender swap, I don't think you can go wrong with Luke.
Right.
Yeah, I'd go with Luke. I mean, Kirk, if you go with Kirk, he'll never leave you.
Yeah, but at a certain point, you kind of go like, God, I need him to leave me so I don't hurt his feelings.
But like, Emily, unmarried, like in her prime, like at Smith College. Which we know she goes to Smith College now.
Did we, what?
On the Ben and Aisha episode, okay. We were like, oh, what college did she go to? And it's Smith. And we know that now.
Yeah. Although someone was saying, like, wasn't it Brown? So.
She said Smith in season 7.
She played some sport at Brown. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. But, yeah, I would go, I would go Lorelai or Luke, I think. Or... Who am I forgetting? Or wait, Suki. I might go Suki.
Yeah. Although sometimes
I would eat like a king.
Yes, but I feel like sometimes she'd be a bit uptight about, like, just in certain situations, it seems like she would be pretty particular, or what is the word I'm looking for? Not uptight, because that sounds like, hey, lady, take a load off. I don't know. It seems like
I love your misogynist voice. It's girl.
Yeah, my misogynist voice is I've been surfing.
I think it is.
I don't know. Whatever.
I don't know. Whatever. The legacy of Gilmore Girls.
It's a great way to end the answer to the question by not answering the question.
I'm going with Lorelai. I'm going with Lorelai.
I'm going with Paris. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Gilmore guys. This is Alyssa calling. My question for Demi, I was just wondering if you have gone back and watched any of the episodes so far that you've really liked, or if this is just kind of something you want to go through once and then think about watching again. I know you had a fondness for like the Brace Fitch dinner episode and things like that. So I was just wondering if you've just gone back and had any favorite episodes that you like to watch again. All right, thanks, guys. Have a good day.
The only episode I've gone back and watched is the one that we live tweeted, 108, I believe, which was very strange to go back and live watch that because I was catching a lot of parallels that I was like, oh, this is going to come in handy later. Yeah. But aside from that, I haven't. And honestly, I don't know if I'm going to rewatch the series. Just from the standpoint of I don't rewatch anything.
You don't rewatch anything?
No, I truly don't.
There's not one movie you've seen more than once.
No, I'm talking TV series. Movies are easy. No, it's easy to put a movie back on.
I guess, yeah, because it's 2 hours. It's not 7 years.
Right. TV series, especially long ones, are very difficult. I've watched maybe three series over again, and it's Arrested Development, Kimmy Schmidt, and something I'm now forgetting, but I thought about this before. And it's weird because it's never...
Blue Bloods?
Yeah, Blue Bloods. I was on a real Donnie Wahlberg kick for a few months.
Blue Bloodies.
No, it's hard for me to rewatch TV series because I will fall off the train or I will go, oh, wait, this other series I should be watching.
He'll literally fall off a train that he's on.
I'm
so invested.
Well, yeah, because I put myself on a train track and spin around my living room.
It's a Mr. Magoo situation.
Yes, exactly. No, it's hard for me to rewatch long series because while I'll be rewatching it, I'll go, oh, shit, this other show just started. I got to catch up on that. So...
Content's just coming at us all the time.
Yeah, but it's weird. I buy the DVDs because I'm like, I will rewatch this, or I will love to watch this episode. And I watch specific episodes, but I literally have watched three series over again. And they're all comedies because they're easy to put on in the background.
It's a philosophy, too, because I think some people make the decision, go deep on a few or go wide on a bunch.
Right.
Right, because, and you kind of, I feel like even in your taste, you kind of have to make that decision where it's like, I could watch three new series, or I could watch this thing again, you know? And for me, it's like, I probably watch 30 Rock and Breaking Bad, like every 1.5 years.
I really want to rewatch 30 Rock, but it's a hump to get over, because I'll be like, okay, that's 8 years of 30-minute, that's so much to watch.
And seven's only 13.
Right, but... That's so much to watch.
It's a lot.
That's all I can think about when I'm like, I should rewatch it. It's like, ugh, it'll take so long and I've missed all these shows.
But 30 Rock, you can dip in and then get out.
But it's just, literally, there are so many shows that, because I want to watch everything that I am even a little bit interested in, which is why I watch all these stupid TV shows, but it's just...
Like 2.5, or wait, Big Bang Theory.
Again, I watched and I was like, not bad, but
it's
not
good, and
watch.
Especially as a writer, there's so much to glean just from like structural things.
And that's another thing. Like, there will be times where I think of a show, and I'm like, okay, well, this sounds a lot like this, so I have to go back and watch just that. Like, I'm watching the entire Seinfeld season of Curb Your Enthusiasm now, and I'm just like, okay. As I do this in between episodes, I'm like, oh, ooh, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I forgot there's a new one. So.
Yeah. Oh, just, you get distracted by the other stuff.
Yeah. And then I get distracted by doing everything else.
Yeah, from life.
Yeah.
Life gets in the way of living, man. Isn't it weird to think that Arrested Development came and went within the span of Gilmore Girls?
Oh, my God. Yes. Oh,
I mean, the first three seasons, I guess. But yeah.
It's so, that's crazy. Almost how crazy it is for me to think, like, Kristen Ritter went from Gilmore Girls to Breaking Bad.
To Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
To Don't Trust the Bee to Jessica Jones.
Again, great show.
Yeah. Don't Trust the Bee?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't watched it.
It's truly very good.
I want to watch it. Does What's-His-Face play himself?
James Van Der Beek?
Yeah.
He does the thing where it's like style. Like, yes, it's him, but it's an asshole version of him. It's really fun. I truly think it's a good thing.
Like Julia Roberts in Ocean's... No, we already talked about that.
Oh, God.
Okay, here's another email.
Hi, Kevin and Demi. This is Leslie calling from Boston. I just had a quick comment regarding what I think is Lorelai's sometimes immaturity with regards to her relationship with Emily. I started noticing it at the beginning of 4:15 when she and Rory run into Emily at the mall and Lorelai just wants to pretend like they haven't seen her. Obviously, she has every right to not go on with her own mother, but projecting this onto Rory seems kind of childish in my opinion, like something a middle schooler might do when they don't like someone. Anyways, would love to hear your thoughts on this and love the show. Keep up the good work. Bye.
Oh, she's saying her invitation for Rory to not like Emily as well seems childish.
Yeah, I think she's part of me in that specific situation of the mall thing. I think it was like, if you don't turn around, then you will talk to her and then she will talk to me by me being here. But I think in a lot of ways, that's just Lorelai going, I know this woman. It's not good for you to be in her pocket. Just trust me, I'm your mother, and not so much just like, ugh, I don't like her. You shouldn't like her either, right? And I think I don't think of it so much as like middle school behavior as much as I think it is a parent trying to protect her child from something. But even that still feels a bit immature because of course she's got to know her grandmother. Like,
yeah.
that's not an option.
And there is a level to which there's like real issue and conflict, right?
Right.
But then there's an issue where it's like, my mother, she sneezes and ice cubes come out. She's so cold. She breathes fire. Da, 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 da.
Right.
So sometimes those invitations to also shun and or partake in a negative opinion is like an invitation to play with you in a playground of your imagination to a degree. Not like there's a reality to it, but it's like participate with me in this bit.
Right.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Like a lot of times. As far as the mall goes, I'm not sure if that was an example of that, but yeah, I don't know if it's particularly immature. I think it can be when she's like really going, when Lorelai seems to be enjoying disliking Emily,
mm-hmm.
that's when I think it's immature.
Right.
Like on a purely, sometimes it's fun to watch, sometimes it's not. But when it's like real, I don't know how immature that is. But I think when she gets carried away with like, when she starts enjoying the sound of her own voice.
Yeah.
It's, chill out, Lorelai. Here's another one.
Hey, Gilmore, guys. This is Joni calling from Bloomington, Indiana, otherwise known as Indiana Joni on Twitter. I treat you guys a lot.
Indiana Joni.
Anyway, my question is about how some of your guests keep calling Rory boy crazy. And I know you guys like disagree with it, but I just wanted to hear what you thought a little bit more. Just because to me, boy crazy is something totally different than having like boyfriends consistently. I think people have this like expectation for Rory just because she's like studious and cares about her education. That means she can't like care about boys too because it's shallow or whatever. And I'm exactly where Rory's at. Like I'm in college now and I mean, I care a lot about school, but to be honest, I care about guys too. And I don't think that makes me boy crazy. And yeah, I just wanted to know what you guys thought about that. Like, I don't know how people lump Rory into that category just because she does care about having a boyfriend and how that might be different from boy crazy. All right. Sorry if this doesn't make sense. Have a good day. Bye.
Well, I don't know how many of our guests have used the label boy crazy.
I feel like boy crazy.
A few, but not a majority.
No one comes immediately to mind, but I don't know. I feel like boy crazy as a term is such an indefinite idea because she's had three boyfriends and tried to date like two other people outside of that. I wouldn't say boy crazy is something that they see in Rory as much as it is something they see in the way the show treats Rory, where it's like, oh, Rory's character is defined by her important boyfriends in her life. And I don't think that's something that the character reflects as much as it is something that they're like, she's out of a relationship. When's she going to get in the next one? Like, that's what they're trying to impose on the show because I think it's what they think the audience cares about.
Yeah. Well, oh, that's interesting. The way they contextualize Rory might be boy crazy, but the character herself is not.
Well, no, I don't think they're trying to contextualize Rory as boy crazy. It's just that by the lack of giving her other things to care about or do, it kind of makes it seem like, oh, boys are all she has in her life.
Except for season four, yeah. Where she doesn't have a consistent boyfriend season
right.
four.
Although, I mean, people say that, and it's in my head, I guess I just think of Dean as trickling back into her life in that period. But
yeah.
Because she goes from Jess in the middle of the season to Dean in like six episodes later. I don't know. But I guess it isn't a consistent boyfriend. But I don't think of her as boy crazy because I don't think of her as going like, oh my God, he's so cute. Like she likes boys, but it's not.
She doesn't seem preoccupied to the detriment of other
right.
things.
She doesn't.
Or particularly promiscuous or anything.
Yeah. And until Logan, it doesn't feel like she is even seeking a relationship. She just kind of, I wouldn't say falls into relationships, but it becomes a thing where she's like, oh, I do kind of like this guy. And she doesn't like put it all aside for the boy.
Mm-hmm.
Until Logan, where she sort of gets in her own head and starts making mistakes to be like, no, but I want him to want me. So I don't think of her as boy crazy. I think of her as boy dependent story wise. But that's
a
just
lot
because,
of times. A lot of times.
Yeah.
Although what's interesting with Logan is I feel I feel like for the first time in a way that the other boys weren't, they, Logan seems to be a catalyst for a story that's about Rory, rather than just being Rory's story. And you especially see that in season six, too, so it's hard to talk about now. Mm-hmm. But Logan seems to be, this is the agent of change that pushes Rory to these places, which, you know what's interesting, too, is sometimes a logline or a defense of Logan is he pushes her to be more adventurous, but I don't think he does, really.
The thing that people say about pushing her to be more adventurous is, aside from like the stuff where it's like, oh, break into the cafeteria or jump off of this, like do this stunt with the Life Death Brigade. I mean, even those included, I truly don't feel like she needs it. And that's not to say that like Rory's fine to be so sheltered. I think it's like going from college, like being in college alone will get her. She doesn't need a guy to be like, come on, baby, take a walk on the wild side. I think just being in college and being an adult by nature of having to get acquainted to doing those things, she would have gotten there.
And I don't even think that Logan's even doing it that much.
I don't
much.
Think he
in
is.
Season five, we don't see him like, all right, we jumped off a scaffolding with umbrellas. Now let's...
He's not teaching her to be more assertive. You know what? Jess taught her to be more assertive by being a shitty boyfriend at times. That's one of the things that I like.
The neg lesson.
Yeah. It's just like in the scene where he doesn't go to the hockey game with her and she's like, man's up. Ugh, God. She like sort of gains courage and calls him and like leaves a voicemail. I was like, good. She wouldn't have done that for Dean, but she did it because she's real. Like the world will teach her to come out of her shell. She doesn't need this guy going, just do it. Everyone, what would the journalists do? Like, I don't see that as a value of him.
It was 507, but it has not continued really.
Right.
And I don't think. Other than it's like, because at the end of that, because definitely in retrospect, I was thinking that's not the arc of this season. It's not. They keep escalating in their craziness,
right.
And Logan keeps pushing her into those things. Even with episodes coming up, it's not really Logan. It was almost like a false start.
It feels like something those, like the pushing her to do things made her more excited about Logan than making her more open to doing new things.
Right.
And I don't care about that. Like, great, he's done things that make you like him more. They have not shown any change in her. So
right. Let me put it to you this way and see if you agree. Logan and Jess push Rory out of her comfort zone in two different directions.
Mm-hmm.
Dean joins her in the comfort zone.
Yes, absolutely. Although Dean sort of creates the comfort zone just because it's the first boyfriend. And then in different ways, Jess pushes her out of the comfort zone by making her realize that she shouldn't have to settle for different things. She should be more assertive in demanding what she deserves out of her partner. And then Logan pushes her out of her comfort zone into his comfort zone.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
He's moving her from one comfort zone to another.
Yeah.
Whereas Jess is like, get the backseat of an old Buick and let's go down Thunder Road.
You know what's crazy? The more that I say this, the more I realize that Jess being a bad boy might make him the best boyfriend just because it made Rory the best person when she realized that she shouldn't have to settle for the bad boy.
Yeah.
So is this me saying I'm Team Jess right now?
See,
It's weird. It's Team Jess because I'm not Team Jess.
The teams are a misnomer.
Yes.
Because we don't even, we talked about this, I talked about this with Sarah. Like the teams, that can mean a million things.
Right.
And that's why the labels are so troubling, because is it Team Jess because I think he's the best boyfriend? Is it Team Jess? I think he's the most interesting character to watch. Is it Team Jess? I think he was the healthiest for Rory because blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Is it Team Jess? And people take different things and apply different things to it.
Every email we've ever gotten is like, here's why I see it. And then it's just like, oh, well, that's not what we're talking about. So it's weird. But I will say that Jess creates the Rory that I would expect most, like I would hope most women are, which is like, if you're in a relationship with a guy who's like not doing it for you, don't just be like, oh, I hope he gets better. Like, stand up for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So
get up, stand up.
Yeah. If you're with a Jess, dump him tonight.
Folks, that was the best part of
so
Patrick.
Good.
Folks.
I just love when he stood up and started going into like, what's the name? This Robert Cox, Brian Cox seminar of it all. Yeah. Anyway.
So good. Another female.
Hi, Kevin and Demi. This is Megan. I'm from Ohio. First off, I just want to say I love the show. And my question is about Christopher and Lorelai. I don't know if they do it throughout the whole series, but I know at least in the first couple seasons, like in Christopher Returns and presenting Lorelai Gilmore and those kind of episodes, whenever Lorelai and Christopher see each other, like say hello or say goodbye, they always kiss each other. And that always kind of was weird to me when I was watching it when I was younger. And I don't know. I was thinking about it the other day and I wanted to hear your guys' opinion. So, I don't know. It just always kind of rubbed me as weird that after so many years of not being in contact and maybe not even being on good terms, some of the time they would still always kiss hello and goodbye. So, anyway, keep up the good work. Hope you have a good episode. Bye.
Oh, I thought she was questioning the practice at first, just in general, but she's saying, given that that Christopher's been absent for so long.
You know what's so weird is even the way that Christopher enters and the first time we see him, it feels like he hasn't been gone. It feels like he's been gone for maybe a year. It feels like he sees them every so often.
Yeah.
And I don't remember if that's the case, but it really doesn't feel at any point like, you wronged us, how dare you come back here? It feels like they're kind of just like awkward exes.
Yeah.
And then at a certain point...
But they're comfortable exes.
Exactly. They're like, it doesn't seem like Lorelai is ever like, you left us, how dare you? Like, you don't get to be back here anymore. It kind of feels like she's like, oh yeah, the guy that I have a kid with. And part of her is like, I remember why we were in love, but also you did leave. And she's just kind of more like, huh, well, you left, instead of being like, how you left us, you don't get to come back.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be as righteous an anger on her part as there are sometimes in the viewers.
Right. And I think that maybe that sort of it's never like they full on kiss on the lips, right? It's like a cheek kiss, maybe. I don't know. Cause
I don't know, but even
I don't even, I
on the
even
like
notice.
A quick kiss on the lips, I don't think is that
for people who did it all the time. I guess to them, it's just like, well, yeah,
did as in kissing, not like did it.
Well, both.
they did it one time and got pregnant.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Was it just one time? Is that canon? Is that Nick Cannon?
Who was saying? We were talking with someone yesterday, and they were saying that in television, everyone who has sex one time gets pregnant.
Yeah, Jake Weissman said that.
Which is very funny and very true.
Yeah, because a true detective.
Television is a very
condom-free zone.
Yeah, I was going to say punishable offense. Never mind. Anyway,
it ends up being that a lot of times.
Yeah, sex is a punishment, and the child is the crime, or is the punishment? Never mind. Sex is a crime. Child is the punishment.
I understand.
But
I buy it. I totally buy it.
I buy it, but also I think I buy it just because I have never noticed it, so it doesn't feel like, oh, that's weird for
the way they treat each other makes me buy it, and I don't apply even the reality of that history or lack of history between the two of them.
Right.
That doesn't, their behavior supersedes that to me, where it's like, he was absent for X amount of years. Yeah, but no, I'm not excusing it. I'm just saying, like, the way Lorelai's like, eh.
The thing about this is, a lot of people say we put ourselves in our own heads in certain situations. Putting ourselves in Lorelai's head in this situation is probably the best defense for Christopher, because she doesn't seem to be like, this guy's bad news, mm-hmm. as much as we are, or other people are, who say that, like, I understand Rory not wanting this guy in her life because I also had an absentee dad. I feel like putting ourselves in Lorelai's situation, or in Lorelai's shoes, we kind of go like, oh, hey, it's the guy, and he's back, and everything's nice. Because their chemistry is off the charts good. It really does feel like they're just comfortable.
Do you think it's better than Luke and Lorelai?
No. Well, you know, I say that, but I had to think about it, even though I just said it so quickly, but I was thinking about it before when I was talking. And I don't know, because I feel like the chemistry of Luke and Lorelai is so different. With Lorelai and Christopher, they're on the same page, and the most difference they have is Christopher sometimes just like, you girls are crazy, but Luke is full on like, I'm grumpy, and she's like, well, I'm not grumpy, and it's just so different.
Yeah,
but I do think Luke and Lorelai's chemistry is better, but just because it seems palpable and they do it in such a way that shouldn't work as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're opposites and it works just as well as two people on the same page, which seems a lot easier to work with. So Luke and Lorelai are better, but Christopher and Lorelai are so much easier to watch, I think, because it doesn't feel like there's a struggle. Or it doesn't feel like you have to take someone's side because they're the same side.
I totally agree.
Anyway, what was the question?
The question is, was it weird that they kissed?
Oh, I mean,
I'm saying no.
Yeah, but I also don't remember it. That's something I guess I will have to rewatch.
Nah, you're fine.
Hey, Kevin and Demi. It's Becca. I called earlier, but I just thought of another question.
Oh.
So in season 5, I think it's episode 19 that's coming up. It's called But I'm a Gilmore.
Ah, yes.
And we see the Huntsberger family for the first time all in one spot. So my question is, out of all of the terrible Huntsbergers, which one is your favorite and which one is your least favorite? So like the sister, the mom, dad, I think grandpa, and yeah. So I totally would love to hear your thoughts about that. Love you guys. Hopefully I get to hear this on the air. Thanks. Bye.
My favorite's Mitchum, and yep. My least favorite's the grandpa.
Yep. I was pretty cut and dry on that as well, but I don't know if I'd... The thing is, I kind of dislike Shira, mostly because I feel like she... I don't know what her deal is. Like, I'm just like, how did you get in the family if Grandpa is so...
Oh, you'll get her deal.
I'm sure I will. But it also just feels like she's trying to be accommodating at first, and then she takes just a U-turn into like, oh, you can't marry this woman. And it just came out of nowhere. So it was like, what? Like with the grandpa, it felt like he was angry the entire time. And she was just like, oh, something bad's about to happen. And then she's like, well, I'm the bad thing that's about to happen.
Yeah, I'm the bad thing that's about to happen.
Anyway, grandpa's a mess.
Yeah, he just looks like he's about to say something really racist one of them.
It's great.
Hi, Kevin and Demi. My name is Samantha from Chicago. I had a quick question for you, and I know you've got a mailbag coming up. So my question is, in a lot of the revival talk, there was mention that at least one of Rory's boyfriends in the show would be making an appearance in season 8. And I know it's really early, but based on where you are in the show,
Tony?
Who do you think is the most likely boyfriend to make a reappearance on Gilmore Girls, and what would the ideal storyline be for that person? Wondering what your opinions are on this. But I love the show, and I listen to it every week and talk about it with a lot of people at work. And we love the show here in Chicago. So thanks so much. Bye.
It's very funny because I thought she said Lori at first. So I was like, weird nickname for Lorelai. And then
Hugh
Laurie. Then she said, which boyfriend? I was like, oh, Luke. And then I, all at once, I went, oh, Rory. Okay.
Who's it most likely that they bring back? I mean, Jess. Because Jess, you can do anything with.
Right. Although, to me, the one that they would want, if they can get anybody, I feel like they try to bring Dean back.
Chad Michael. Oh.
Yeah, they're trying to bring Tristan back.
Yeah.
He just goes, what's up, Mary? Haven't seen you in a while. It's like, oh, no.
That's a good Tristan. What's up, Mary? That was spot on for some reason. Tristan and Logan finally meet.
Yeah.
And they both explode.
Oh, boy.
And become the same person
They do that.
The Harpo Marx.
Yeah, exactly. That would be great. It would be perfect. It would be a perfect acknowledgement of that
the Mary
theory
routine.
Of mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, ideally, truly, I think they would want to bring Jess back. And then part of me thinks they'd want to bring Dean back just as a sort of, like, nod to the original. Just, like, bring him back to just be like, yeah, things have changed. You aren't the way I... Like, do they want to sort of set it up to be like, remember the first season? That's what, in my head, they would want to do. But
I love that voice, by the way. I use that voice all the time for...
Right.
To, like, imagine directors or writers wanting an audience member to get a callback.
Yeah.
Like Mayor Goldie.
Like, they're sitting...
Remember me from the first movie?
Yeah. Just, like, I just imagine them sitting in the theater just like, you see that? It says Twin Pines, but it's gonna say Lone Pines when he hits the tree.
Yeah.
Like, do they just want you to not miss a thing? Which is not true. They
Much like Aerosmith.
Yes, you don't want to miss a thing.
It's true. What? I don't want to close my eyes. Don't want to fall. Oh, and the other part was what story? I think Jess would be another, like, I think the best story they could tell, if they had, what do I know? Bring in a boyfriend, have them speak a particular truth into Rory's life that she needs to hear at that point, and have him float away.
Right.
Which I think Jess would be the most, because he's the most quote-unquote enigmatic. Dean's just a poor dumb loser.
Yeah.
Logan's a newspaper magnate or whatever.
I mean, I can't speak to what story they should do because, like, I haven't seen the latest season. And everyone says they don't want this, but I truly would love to see the series start with Rory married to someone we've never met before, and you almost don't
care. Meet Don.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, I don't want him to have a kid because I don't want the whole, like, well, the crown's passed to you, kid. You're the new Lorelai. Like, I don't care about that. But I do want to see her settled in, so that's not even a dilemma anymore. But we do bring in the old boyfriends to sort of have her just have a conversation with them, just as a sort of, like, where's time gone? Like, should have ended up, like, maybe one of them can be like, it should have been us, and she's like, no, it really shouldn't have been. Like, she sort of lays down the law about what all of them brought to her life, and maybe one of them doesn't, it's like, Jess could be the one who's like, you know, he comes in and he just floats away. He's like, I don't want to be back with you. I think we were both right for each other at a certain time, and we both grew.
If it got super meta, like,
exactly.
Hey, all my boyfriends were good for those points in my life, but I need to move on.
Right.
Saying to the audience, you need to move on.
Yes, exactly.
She looks into the camera.
It would be great if she runs into Dean and he almost is like he wants her back, but he's mad at her. She runs into Logan and he sort of almost picks a fight with the new guy until she's like, you need to leave. Like, I don't know, just his whole machismo thing of like, yeah, I'm the one who's going to win this fight. And then he has to leave at a certain point. Jess comes in and you think he's going to do the same thing. No, he has a very calm discussion with her. He's like, I hope you're doing well. I hope everything's good for you. Like, they've both clearly grown into, and that's when you realize that Jess was the good one all along.
Oh, shoot.
I think like what
we're doing on this podcast.
Right. I want them to set up who was the good one, not by who ends up with Rory, but by who reacts to Rory being in a good situation. Who's mad about it and wants to be the guy,
that's,
and who is happy
test
for her.
Totally.
Not because they are with her, just because they want her to be happy.
100%.
There you go.
See?
Amy, give us a call.
Amy.
We've got 3 scripts on the pipeline.
And a bunch of silly song parodies, too.
Hey, guys. This is Jordan McGill, formerly from Oregon.
You're McGill.
New Jersey. I just wanted to offer a little perspective that I feel like may have been missed on the show so far. And defense of the character of Lorelai. At the same time, I come from a single parent family, and what I always really appreciated about the character of Lorelai is there's kind of this trope or this cliche of the, like, joyless single mom who just lives this harrowing life to provide for her kids, which is, you know, kind of accurate, but I always really appreciated that Lorelai, on top of, you know, stepping up to provide for Rory and build a family, is also a really just joy-filled character who really approaches life with a lot of verve and enthusiasm. And it is, I think, a pretty unique portrayal of single parenthood in that it doesn't make it all seem so grim. And I think that Lorelai is a really stand-up character for that. So just interested what you guys would have to say about that. I get the impression that you guys are both from dual-parent households, but as someone from a single-parent household, I really just appreciate the show for that reason. All right, love you guys. Talk to you later. Maybe. Bye.
That's a good point, because it does reflect, the show's so reflective, either in the reality that you exist in and relate to, or the reality that you want to.
Right.
And I think that is a good point, that often single parents, like, their kid comes home and their hair is all messed up and, like, hey, right, baby, how was school? I was out at the factory for like 18 hours.
And they're always just staring at a bunch of empty checks on the table, just like, we're never going to eat today. Yeah.
We're never going to eat today. Yeah. Or you see that even in, you see, like, a certain tinge of sadness, even in all, like, the single parent Disney movies.
Right, yeah. It's like, if only your mom hadn't died.
Right.
And I do very much appreciate that about the show, that, like, any troubles that Lorelai has money-wise or with even anything she can't do for Rory is not, if only there was another person, it's like, ah, damn it, something in my life is currently not going right, and I can fix it. It's not, it's not, the problem is not that she's a single parent, it's that something else is the issue.
You know what's interesting? I don't know if this is good or bad of me, but I never think of the shows like, oh, it's a show about a single mom.
I constantly forget. Like, he was like offering a different perspective. I was like, another man, And then he said single parent. I was like, oh, yes, I remember.
How interesting. Why is that? I guess because there's always such a strong family support in Stars Hollow and, I mean, of the grandparents financially, but I just never think of it as like, oh, yeah, the one about the mom that got knocked, the teenager that got knocked up. I just forget about that.
And I think part of that is because we start with Rory about to break free of the household and go to college, so we don't think of like, oh, her developmental years, when you kind of think of the parent as like, or like the nuclear family as, like, oh, the two parents are the reason she is the way that she is. So we don't see her growing up. We see her like almost like ready to come out. Like she's done, as we've said sometimes.
Yeah, and if we saw those early years, we might be reminded of that. But right. But the show is kind of like a testament to this can work.
Yeah.
So I guess that in, because of where we join it, that's a good point. Thanks, Jordan.
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Demi. This is Kelsey from Austin, Texas. All you guys for ATX Fest show, and I loved it. Thank you so much for coming. I do have a question about the revival. I was thinking about the other episode when Lorelai wakes up and she dreams, or she's dreaming that she has tons of books. Do you guys think that ASP will do that in the final four episodes? So yes or no, and if they do, and if it's not that, how would you think it would work, or if it wouldn't work? I just want to hear your opinions. If like, there were some new Gilmore Girls or boys brought to the scene.
Gilmore Boys?
Yeah, it's a stupid question, and I hope it's short enough to be put on the air. But I love you guys. You're the best. And I hope you have a good day. Thank you. Bye.
Wait, so what is the question?
If they would, like, repeat the dream sequence in a way, or parallel it, because remember opening of season 3?
Right.
She has the kids. Or she's pregnant. If they would like do, essentially, I think what Kelsey's saying is, would they do a callback to that?
You know what I think she would do if she decided she wanted to fuck with the audience is she would have a dream sequence where she is married to Dean or something like that, and then she wakes up.
No.
She wakes up like in the middle of the night, and her new guy is just like, "Rory, you okay? What's wrong?" And then it's like, "Ah, you got me."
And you see, it's Tony.
Hey, baby, what's wrong? You need me to dance out your frustration? Tony gets up and performs a musical number.
Do people dance out other people's frustration?
Tony does. Well, Tony can do it all. Tony's like, got no flaws.
He's like a dance therapist. Because I get it. I get Kevin Bacon dancing out his frustration right. Footloose. But someone doing it on behalf of... That's something I've never seen before.
Tony is like Bender, where he's just like... He'll just pull a move and everyone's like, ha, 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 great.
Oh my goodness. But I don't want them to call that back. It would be interesting if they had like a son or something, Luke and Lorelai.
Oh, that would be kind of strange, I think. I truly think that any of them having a new kid would be like, to me, I'd just be like, all right, back up a little bit. Like either have the, like have them pregnant by the end of the series and then just be like, they're gonna have a kid, give us the name it's gonna be, and we don't need to see the kid. But like to start off with like, here's a kid, I would just be like, wait.
Yeah, that would, or maybe they'll just flash forward like not 8 years after the show ends, but like 50. And whoa. Put everyone in old age makeup.
Oh my, if they do, like, they set everyone's death to Breathe Me by Sia. They do the 6 feet under thing. They show people getting shot at their bank jobs.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Oh, RIP that dude.
Yeah, RIP that name. Dude.
But Kirk looks the same.
Oh, no, Kirk's the only one that lives. Kirk, he's got, like, a Kenneth thing going on. He will not
die. He's totally the Kenneth of the show.
Absolutely is. Yeah. I would not be surprised, but I wouldn't mind if they did a thing where it's like we get all of their current lives and then like the last few moments of the last episode sort of jump forward just to give us true closure as to like maybe not everyone dying, but maybe you see like that's when they jump forward in time and Rory's got her own kid and Lorelai sort of sits down and is like, you know, I remember when I had you. And then we get these little flashback moments where we're supposed to get emotional seeing how they grew up. Right? We all start crying. It's like, now you're the reigning Lorelai. And she's like, just crying. They're just saying like, I love you, Mom. Oh, I love you, Mom. Those are the last, or like, I love you, kid. or I love you, Mom. I love you, kid. And then they hug as the new Lorelai goes off to her first day of school.
Oh, like Forrest Gump.
Yes. Oh, damn it.
It's fine.
But it'd be like they sit on the porch together as the bus comes up, and she's like, you know, I remember when you had your first day of school. We flash back. We see some moments as the narration keeps going, and maybe some Carol King music comes up, and it's just like,
loving you the way I
exactly.
Do.
Exactly.
And you finally hear the full song.
Yeah.
And then they bring Sophie back, and Sophie's she's driving the bus. She's driving the bus.
Hey, come kid, on, you ready kid. For your first day?
Where yeah. you lead?
Oh, my God. Oh, that's exactly what happened.
Okay. Or maybe those are the last four words.
Hey, where you lead?
Where you lead, I... And then it cuts out. It's a hard cut. There's one...
I keep forgetting what the question is because we're just like, here's what I'd do in the revival.
Oh, just I think how they would handle new kids and dream sequences and stuff. You know what is fun? We are getting a big cliffhanger coming up in one of the season finales where it does a hard cut to black.
Really?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Which is the only time they do that.
Oh, wait. Is it a six-season finale? Because I think I might know what it is.
Really?
I might. I don't know. I'm not going to say what I think it is, but...
That,
You mouth something, but I couldn't tell what it is.
I didn't mouth anything.
Oh, okay.
I just went...
Oh, yes, when Dr. Beaker and Dr. Bunsen Honeydew joins the cast. No.
That'd be red.
I don't know. Yeah. I can't speak to what I think they'll do because I have no idea, and that's the joy of it all. But I would like to not have kids be a part of the mix until the end.
Until the end, okay.
Yeah, just because I feel like jumping forward and having kids introduced sets up a new... thing. It doesn't continue the story. It starts a new story.
Sure. Aisha speculated because Christopher doesn't like using birth control that he has like 40 children like Dewey Cox and Walk Hard.
That would be great.
What's your name? Raheem?
Which one of you is Christopher Jr.? And three of them raised their hands.
He just wants to be free.
Yeah.
Okay, last voicemail.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Demi. It's me, Becca. I wasn't really calling with a question. I kind of was just calling to tell you guys that you totally need to come to Sacramento, California, because I wasn't able to go to San Fran, and I was very, very sad. And I don't know. I just think you guys should come to Sacramento. That and... Oh, I had another thing. Oh, yeah. I was listening to the Call Your Name, the advice one. I definitely... And that was hilarious. I loved it. You guys should totally do the Call Your Name segment and do the advice part where you give advice, we give advice, it's a back and forth, hilarity ensues. So yeah, just wanted to say that and love you guys and yeah, bye.
The thing about Sacramento and any California state or city for me is like they're very easy to do because we're so close, but I'm also just like, what California cities, like we could do Oakland, we could do Sacramento, we could do San Diego. I'm just like, there are too many. At a certain point, I'm just kind of like,
it's overwhelming.
Yeah, and also, I feel like if we go to New York and just like, well, we're just doing New York, I'm just like, why don't we do all of these places? It's like, there are so many places in California and so few episodes that I would think, just drive up.
Yeah, that was my philosophy.
And I feel
hard
bad
not to
saying
be dismissive,
just,
but yeah.
Because I also think you shouldn't drive up. Like, that's crazy, but I don't want to be dismissive, but I'm also just like, there are too many cities in California.
But then. I think it, as far reach... In California, it might be. Our reach is only gonna go. Why is this so hard for me to say?
Sentences are hard. It's crazy. We do this a lot.
It's it's so hard. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Our reach is only gonna go from Los Angeles to San Francisco for California.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Yeah, that makes sense. What I would say is... give yourself some me time. Take a vacation up to LA that just happens to coincide. That's not true. I don't believe that at all. I don't know.
We don't even know when or where our shows are going to be in 2016.
A lot of people ask us, like, what are the dates that you like have planned that you are going to, like,
nothing past January 2016.
Like, we're not holding dates back from you guys. We truly do not know unless when we announce it, that's like, they're just like, hey, tickets are going to go on sale. And we're like, great, here it is. You know, like seconds after we do.
But Demi, we do need to start planning for 2016 because Bruce is going on tour.
Right. When's he going on tour?
He's going on tour January to March, and we're going to need to make sure that I can go to...
Of course. You know what I would love? No, I was going to say we should do an episode live from the show, but then you don't get to enjoy the show, so of course not.
There's like 2 hours of sitting around time before the show starts if you do general admission.
But would you?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I do it every show.
Right.
Every show that I can.
Man, I wish Radiohead toured as much as Bruce Springsteen seems to, because I've only seen them once, and I'm very upset about that.
Really? Yes. You've only seen them once? Mm-hmm.
Well, I've only been
a fan of them. And they're your number one.
Yes, but I've only been a fan of them since 2011. So they've only had one album come out.
Oh, that's true.
Then Tom York does all those things where he's like, I'm going to go do some solo, and then I'm going to form a new band. So.
No, thank you. Yeah.
It's like, no, they're all great, but I'm also just like, it's not Radiohead.
Right.
Anyway, it's like if Bruce was like, what if I tried out pop for a bit?
I mean, he did that where he did the Sessions band, which was all like folk and Pete Seeger covers.
Oh, boy.
And they didn't half sell out the venues they played.
Yeah.
Anyway. In the United States. But yes, Bruce Springsteen is going on tour.
So, wait. So we can't schedule dates around. We are waiting for Bruce's tour dates to come out until we can schedule further dates.
I would love if we just, like, partnered up. Like, if Gilmore Guys was the opener.
That would be super funny. Or if it's just, like, our dates happen to coincide, where it's just, like, our dates suddenly become, like, oh, all of our shows are at 5 o'clock at a theater that's 2 miles from where Bruce happens to be performing that night.
Yeah, and he's our guest, too.
Oh, my God.
I like Jess. There's something about him. I just like him.
This one's for one guy in the audience. 2, 3, 4. Loving you the way I do.
I only want to be with you.
He's going to bring you on stage for a Courtney Cox moment.
I believe it. I've gotten close, but it hasn't happened yet. I'm a white male.
I didn't even know what you were going to say, but I just laughed at you going, I'm a white.
I'm a white. Guys, spoiler alert.
Wait, what were you going to say?
Well, I'm just the least attractive person to be brought up on stage.
It doesn't matter. They'll bring you up on stage. I've been on stage plenty of times, and it's just, you just bum rush the stage at a certain point.
No, I respect the E Street Bandstand. No, that's fine. Let's do a few voicemails a few emails real quick.
Let's do it.
Victoria wrote in, and she... Well, actually, I don't know how much you can speak to it because of where you are in the series, but in the film series, I should say, because she says, I'm on season 2 of the podcast, so maybe you addressed this already, in which case, apologies, but this weekend, I was rewatching the original Star Wars trilogy, as one is wont to do,
right?
And Han and Leia's near-constant bicker-slash-flirting reminded me of Luke and Lorelai. I guess Han and Luke both have that grump with a heart of gold thing, and something about their gruffness, I don't know. Man, maybe it's just me. Would love to hear your thoughts on it.
So I was talking with Kevin the other day, and
Luke and Leia lie.
Although I will say I get the parallels. Although Luke and Lorelai don't have as much fun arguing. It's like Luke is grumpy and Lorelai doesn't care.
Yeah, she's just like, oh, why are you mad?
Right. It's not. It's like she pets him on the head. Whereas Han and Leia are the kind of like. Oh, like, they're like, I don't like you. And everyone's like, yeah, they do. Like, stop arguing, kiss already, how their dynamic is. And it's funny I say that because...
It's more Sam Diane. It's funny Diane.
I mean, I don't know if I've probably mentioned it on the show before, but I hadn't seen any of the Star Wars movies until very recently, until 2 nights ago that I watched A New Hope again for the first time, and I'm starting to watch Empire Strikes Back. I'd seen the third one in theaters, but that was nothing because I was just like...
You haven't seen them... But you have seen
right,
them.
Exactly.
That's what's so
it's
funny.
Star Wars. Like, yeah. My friend Tim Chang, who I mentioned earlier, was...
Gilmore.
So funny. But, like, Tim Chang was, like, yelling at me that I hadn't seen Star Wars, and then I was like, no, I know a lot of, like, it's Star Wars. It's in the lexicon. I know almost everything there is to know from watching the movies. And he was quizzing me, and I didn't get a question wrong. I can tell you everything about Star Wars. It's just, I feel like a fraud because I haven't seen it. And I wondered that. I was going to tweet out the other day, do you think people, when they make references to things they haven't seen, do you think of them as frauds? I'm wondering about that. I don't, but some people are like, wait, but you just made a joke about that. It's like, yeah, because it's part of pop culture. It's part of the zeitgeist. I know.
Yeah. No, I never feel like, sometimes people feel protective, like this is my thing. If it's like super specific and you're encroaching on that, but for something as ubiquitous as Star Wars,
some people want to go, some people want to use Star Wars as like the real nerd cred, but it's like, it's Star Wars. It's a billion-dollar franchise.
Yeah, mom's like, yeah, Star Wars isn't nerd credit. Star Wars is... That movie is going to make like $4 billion. Right. Like,
and it's like, I get that it's nerd credit because it's what made sci-fi kind of cool, but it's still not nerd. It's nerd credit in a very specific way. It is the kind of thing where it's like, if you are very, very, very into Star Wars, you can be like, yeah, I know it's nerdy, but I'm really into Star Wars. But yeah. You can't be like, I've seen them all. I'm a nerd. It's like most people have. But I'm just now watching the franchise for the first time, which is very funny to me for a number of reasons. But... Anyway,
nerd cred is a hard thing to pin down nowadays because they're all in the position of power. They're not an oppressed minority, you know?
Right. And I think at a certain point, I was thinking about this the other day as well, where it's like some people sort of pride themselves on being nerds for certain things, and then fandoms sort of become protective of letting new people. Like, that's how a lot of people were when we started this, where like people were mad that we were putting ourselves in a position of power. Oh,
they still are.
I know, but it's like, I get that you're protective of this thing, but you should be protective in the sense of like, get mad when people discredit you as a person for liking a thing, not get mad when people want to be in on the thing that you were originally shunned for liking. It's like, don't do what people did to you just because you're finally in a position of power. Let everyone in.
Yeah.
Let people like the things you like, even if it's a niche.
It should be all-inclusive and in a way that's not... And you're not going to enjoy it the same way as your friend is, and you're not going to enjoy it the exact same... Yeah.
Anyway, it's the same thing I say where it's like... and Edgar Wright was saying this too, where it's when people say they haven't seen something, don't get mad at them or like make fun of them for it. Get excited, because that means they get to watch it for the first time.
Yeah. Here, let's do that scenario. Say you haven't seen Star Wars yet.
I haven't seen Star Wars yet.
You haven't seen Star Wars yet? Okay, now say it again.
I haven't seen Star Wars yet.
Oh my gosh, dude, you haven't seen Star... You're going to love Star
Exactly. Wars. Exactly. The first reaction makes me go, okay, well, I don't want to watch it now.
Yeah.
That's the reaction. Like, anyway. But back to the original... This always happens. Back to the original question. I see the dynamic of like the sort of bickering lovers, but not as strongly as I do with Han and Leia. Because Luke and Lorelai are like, it's really more Luke is the bickerer and Lorelai's the imp just jumping around and going like, oh, you're frustrated. So no, just like the sort of like mischievous, like, oh, it's so cute that you think you're going to get to me.
Right.
Yeah.
Who could take, who would win in a fight between Princess Leia and Lorelai?
Leia, she's a general.
She has a gun. Yeah, she's a general now. Never mind. That was a dumb. I'll set myself up. For
I guess we're talking about what the fight is. I mean, fight.
A battle of wits.
Ooh, well, Lorelai probably.
No,
because she'd pull out all the references that Leia's just like, that doesn't even exist in
my galaxy. Yeah. Josh wrote in. He talks about watching the show. He's coming from jolly old England, as he calls it.
Hello. No, we gotta stop. I gotta stop that.
He found it similar. Well, not found it, but he kind of experienced it the way you did. He said, I found Gilmore Girls in an odd way in 2007 while in secondary school. A film came out in cinemas called Saw 4.
Yep.
Scott Patterson was in it, and a couple months later, I was flickering through my TV and saw Scott with a backwards cap looking grumpy. That image alone made me watch the whole episode, and I was hooked. And then he says some other stuff, and he concludes it with, I'm not sure if you guys know this, but all of Rory's boyfriends suck. So if you were to write an episode that introduces Rory's perfect partner, how would that go?
What's that tap noise?
You haven't seen that? Tony's coming to town.
Tony's coming. Tony's coming. Tony's coming. Tony's coming. A door bursts open, and Tony taps in, and he stops. I'm Tony.
He's Tony.
Hey, Rory, what's that sound? It's the sound of my feet tapping away to the sound of the beat. It's my heart, and it beats for you. I'm Tony. Tony. Tony is here.
Are there some new moves? Because I like him.
Yeah, it's Tony.
Yeah, no, that's the best. We're not going to do better than that.
We're not, but let's say we got to answer it for real.
Answer it for real.
Tony. Wait, no, sorry. I forgot what
yeah,
I was doing.
Yeah, Tony.
If we have to introduce her perfect boyfriend, let's call him Tony, because Tony's perfect.
Yeah.
I would imagine it's just, how does this perfect boyfriend come in? Maybe he... I would like a boyfriend... that is not introduced as like, oh, they hate each other, but now they're good. I would like it to be someone who's just kind of like flirty, but almost like seems not even uninterested, like flirty, but he's just kind of trying to be nice and is not. It's not like a thing where it's like he's at odds and you think he's never going to get the girl. She's never going to get him. So maybe he's flirty, but doesn't seem to be going for anything more than flirting. Like maybe it's the guy that she sees every day at lunch because he swipes the cards. So they have a weird thing that in the background we're like, that's a cool character. Why don't we ever see him ever? And so they run into each other outside at some other event and they're flirting again. And it's very comfortable for her. But then you find out he's got a girlfriend. And then they start flirting more and more, and he breaks up with the girlfriend, and she hears about it, but she's like, what? They seem so great together. And then you realize he broke up with the girlfriend because he was having more fun in their flirtations than he was with...
That's sweet.
Right? Like so then that. He's like, I mean, I really liked her, but I realized that I had more chemistry with you in our small moments than I had with her over our entire relationship.
Yeah.
And then he's like, would you like to go for coffee sometime? And it's just a normal relationship that starts out like that. And maybe they have their ups and downs, but then they're kind of on the same level of like, he wants to be dedicated to schoolwork and maybe he's got something cool that is not the news. I don't want them to have a common interest. I want them to have something that's like, or like the common job rather. Like she wants to be a news broadcaster and he's like, I don't know, I got stupid dreams. Like what do you want to do? It's like, I really want to be a food critic. And maybe she laughs at him at first, but then realizes he's got a passion for it. And it's like, okay, well, if that's what you want to do, then that's cool. Or like something that's kind of similar in that they both want to write or they both want to be this person, but they want to do it in separate ways, but they support each other in it. And then they get into fights. Maybe they break up at a certain point. They go off to date different people. And they come back into each other's lives and realize that they've never loved anyone as much as they love each other. So
Series finale.
He pops the question. And before he can even get through the question, she starts saying yes.
Kirk runs over him with the bus.
Yes, Kirk runs over him with the bus.
Oh, sorry.
He gets down on one knee. He goes, Rory. She goes, yes. And he's like, Rory, you need to let me finish. He's like, I don't care what you're going to say. Yes, yes. It's like, Rory, you're the most important thing in my life. Yes. Rory, I want you. Yes. Will you? Yes. Marry me. Yes. He gets up. They kiss. It's great. And then musical number with all of the dancing cast from Slumdog Millionaire.
But then part of that dancing cast of Slumdog Millionaire, Tony.
Tony! You thought it was that Tony. It's a different Tony, baby.
I mean, we're not going to get better than that.
Who do you, because I always answer these questions and I feel like, what would you want to see in a perfect boyfriend?
I would want to see someone who just is not, who doesn't have external conflict that makes them troubled in the way that we've seen in past boyfriends.
Right.
Where Logan's fun, but his dad or Jess, but his mom's crazy and he comes from a rough background. Just someone who has seen some stuff, but seems kind of untortured by anything.
Right. Someone who just got over their PTSD.
Someone, a war veteran.
Yes, that would be nice. Someone that she meets while she's reporting on the war.
Oh, man. In the bunker, she's doing an investigative report. That would be great, actually. Okay. She's a little reporter. She's doing the Christiane Amanpour thing. And she interviews a subject. And that becomes the tension. The tension is not, you're a jerk and I'm Rory, so this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
But the tension is, there's journalistic integrity stuff happening. Right.
Like and then, train wreck.
What?
Like train wreck.
Because that actually makes sense.
Right.
And that's something that doesn't seem petulant.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Like, he's the subject of some huge profile piece she's doing off of him on, like, New York Magazine, the New York Times, or something in New York. Because all smart people are in New York.
Right.
And... and she is trying to finish the story as soon as possible so they can start hooking up.
Mm-hmm.
But then in rushing it, she starts making mistakes. So that's it. See, that way it combines the personal and professional.
And just before they get she ends the interview. And it becomes a thing where she's like, I have to go. I can't do this anymore. I'm sorry. But one day he gets the finished paper, the finished piece in the mail, and he reads it. And you get that scene where it's like you see both of them and he's just like sitting at a table and her voice is like the narration. It's reading it out loud. And at a certain point it goes like, and that's sort like he's like, David was a war vet, a hero, most of all, a kind man. And that's why I fell in love with him. Or just something where,
that's
like,
in the end?
No, just like in the paper, she sort of is very honest about how she sort of fell in love with this guy. While also, she's like, my journalistic integrity became at a, like, this is where the interview stops. And that's because that's when things changed. And it sort of turns into, like, she came and profiled this man. She fell in love with him. And that's the news story. And then we're just like, you see her packing up to go to the airport, and then she goes to the door, and he's there. These are all, like, cliches. I want Gilmore Girls to devolve
and
into love, actually.
And Coldplay is playing.
Yes.
The Sky Full of Stars.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. I saw Seth Morris do a bit a couple weeks ago to A Sky Full of Stars at the UCB stage, and it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. He was naked.
Oh, okay.
It was crazy. It was... I'll tell you about it later. Caitlin, we'll do a couple more. Caitlin wrote in and said, while I was listening to episode 511 with Guy Branum, he said something that not only struck me, but stuck with me through the past week and a bit. He noted that Gilmore Girls is about saying you love someone through your actions, not your words. The point changed the lens through which I viewed the show, the way I think about some of the motivations or actions or behaviors in Gilmore Girls. Then, after listening to the call-in show this week, I realized some of my favorite moments are the quiet, unspoken, I care moments between the characters. For example, in 206, when Lorelai stops by a parent's house just to sit with Emily while she gardens. Or in 312, when Lorelai buys Emily a DVD player to entertain her while Richard is away. Or 119, when Emily is horrified after she learns where Lorelai and Rory lived behind the inn, prompting her to create a space for Rory in her own home and start a fight with Lorelai. I could go on for a while, I won't, but Guy made me think the most powerful moments this show offers are in expressions of caring and hurt. I know that the second half of season 5 is quite the ride. I think it would be interesting if you two challenged yourselves to look at some of the characters' more unforgivable actions. I realize I only included Emily Lorelai moments, but every character has them, by assigning a motivation of caring or hurt to them. Don't get me wrong, sometimes the character's actions are just selfish, impulsive, or cruel, but this new perspective in watching the show gives it depth that I didn't see before. It has truly blown my mind. Thanks for being awesome, Caitlin from Canada.
The thing about, because multiple people have written that, like, you guys are, they say that we are missing the fact that someone did something bad because they cared. And it's like, we get that, but a lot of times I feel like the... And, like, the outcome outweighs the means. Like, I feel like when Emily's like, oh, I'm doing this, I'm trying to break up Luke and Lorelai because I care about Lorelai, I feel like I get it, but I also am just like, you have to see through the forest to the end of this.
Sure.
Like, I don't believe that Emily's, like, crazy. She has to know what's going to be the outcome of this when it all goes wrong. So I get that she's doing this because she cares about Lorelai, but I don't think she's doing, like... If you care about Lorelai, I feel like she should have skipped to the end of being like, I care about Lorelai, which is why they can be together. Because she won't, if she cares about Lorelai, then shouldn't her happiness be the first thing that she thinks about for Lorelai and not just totally. Like how I think she's caring about Lorelai and thinking of like, I care about her, so I want her to grow up the way that I believe is best, not I want her to grow up the way that she will feel the best. And that we do see those motivations, but I just think maybe because we don't outright say, like, I get that they're doing this because they care, but because, like, it's a given. Everyone cares about everyone in this show. There's no one who's like, I hate this person and I want them to suffer. So I think that...
There's probably subtext to be mined, though. Maybe that we haven't. I don't know.
Maybe, but I just feel like we get criticized for saying that we are not thinking of it because... We're thinking of people as selfish and not because they care. And I think that we're just not saying that because... Everyone cares about it. That's a given. That's how the show works. Like, every single person in this show cares about every other, even the people they hate, they care about. So I don't think that we sort of just get past that and we go, we get that they care, but here's why we believe that it was a misstep.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's...
Maybe we can be more explicit in that. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. I will say also that the thing Guy Branum said about like how they show I love you with their actions and not their words sort of puts the first season in a very different sort of field.
How so?
Because her saying I love you was such a big deal, and it's not a big deal for any other story anymore, you know?
Well, yeah, I guess that's because the first time that you say I love you is a
right.
big deal.
But does that... I wonder if that sets up the rest of the show as, like, it's not important anymore. We've done that story. Or does it set up the rest of the show to be like, you know what? Us making them say I love you so explicitly was not how we want the show to go. We want it to be more subtextually. Or is it...
Well, I think maybe it's just one of those things like we talked about with Lane sleeping or not sleeping with Zach. It's like, they did that story, so they're not going to do it again.
Right, but they did do that story again. I mean, well, never mind. That was
with I Love You.
Right. No, I'm saying, like, with I Love You, they don't do it again.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yes. Maybe they made the decision to not do it again because they kind of told that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
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 That's the end of all of our questions. I don't know.
It has been.
Thanks for tuning in.
You know, there's not a name on this.
Ooh.
It's just K. So this is from K. He or she says, please consider, if Brad is tortured enough by Paris, is the end result Kirk?
Ooh. I don't get it. I don't think so.
If Brad is tortured enough by Paris, is the end result Kirk?
I guess that would suggest that Kirk is a result of...
torture?
Bullying? But, like...
Sorry, bullying isn't funny.
It's kind of funny. No, I think... I mean, my answer would be no, just because I don't think... I think Brad and Kirk are very different in that Brad tries to stand up for himself and can't. And Kirk doesn't even consider that he needs to stand up for himself. He's just... he's in his own head of, like, I will try to be the best at so many... I'm so earnest about so many things. Whereas Brad is kind of like... he only gets the one moment of being earnest about a thing before Paris takes it from him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're very different, although they do fit in the similar archetypes of, like, the punching bag. It's just that you feel worse for Brad because he fights back and it doesn't work, whereas Kirk doesn't feel the need to, like, he doesn't think anyone's punching on him.
Brad just needs to hook up, if you know what I'm saying,
yeah,
with Kyle and Kirk.
That's
on their
true
new show, hooking up.
That, yeah.
They can all be roommates,
Kyle,
and help
Kirk
each
and
other.
Brad.
Liz wrote in, a listener and a gilly from Lincoln, Nebraska. And she said, I, like some of your guests, am on a constant loop of watching Gilmore Girls. In my recent viewing of the series, I love her mind for doing this. I decided to keep track of all of Emily's maids. I count 93 in total. And did go through the season 7. I don't think you'll be spoiled by anything less. I did not include any staff that were hired for various parties at the Gilmore household. Emily is one of my favorite characters. I love the running story of Emily and her tendency to go through maids. Maids, I know it is probably silly, but I wanted to share with you. Anyway, love your
show.
Wait,
is she provided a list of the maids?
Yep.
Oh my God. Okay, wait.
It's under Gilmore Volume 12.
Is it the... okay. One second.
Why?
Can you cue up Mambo number 5?
Son, I thought you'd never ask.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mambo number 5.
Rory. A ball lie.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Everybody in the club, so come on, let's drive to the liquor store around the corner. Emily said she wanted juice, but I really don't wanna be a bust like I had last week. I must stay cheap. I like Sarah, Heidi, Trina, Sophia, and as I remember, they're only getting sweeter. So what can I do? I really can't do, my lord. For me, Richard is just a good sport. Everything once, it's all good, telling me. Here we go. A little bit of Anton in my life. A little bit of Florence by my side. A little bit of Anna's all I need. A little bit of Marta's what I see. A little bit of Lena in the sun. A little bit of Stella all night long. A little bit of Rosa everywhere. A little bit of Antonia makes me your man. We can't do this for the entire
Richard
song.
Oh, you could. Or should we? I'll just read the other.
Household number 5.
Household.
The names, at a certain point, they're just like, we got to start making up people's names because we've exhausted them.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
This is fantastic.
Yes.
Thank you, Liz.
Thank you so much, Liz. And now to conclude the Gale Mail guys today, we're going to take our attention to the tubes of you.
Oh.
The YouTube.
Another music video.
We're going to do another music video commentary.
This is fun.
Which is really just an excuse to watch these music videos.
The greatest thing is people will tweet these at us, and then I always want to be like, oh, I'm going to watch it. And then I'm like, no, I'm going to watch it for the first time.
Got to save it, bro. This is for a song called She's Gonna Break Soon by Less Than Jake.
Ooh.
And this stars Miss Rory Gilmore herself, Alexis Bledel.
And it's 3 minutes, 11 seconds. 3:11, baby.
Even more great bands.
She's gonna break soon. Oh, wow.
Okay.
Oh.
She's doing her makeup in the mirror. Oh, that dude is...
Is that the dude from Sum 41?
I don't like him.
No, me neither.
She's looking at... Am I pretty? Oh. I hate my lipstick. She threw it. She hates her... She hates everything. She's trashing everything. She's trashing everything in her bedroom.
She's happier that way. Is that Chris Parnell?
No. Wait, there was a party right outside her bedroom?
How convenient.
That's some weird set construction, bro.
Wait, happening?
Someone just gave her Molly.
Or like a fake ID or something.
she's doing her hair.
She's gonna break soon. She's gonna break soon.
Does she have any friends here? Okay, she's going into the bathroom.
Gross bathroom.
She's pulling her hair and throwing everything. Why are you mad, Alexis?
She just loves to thrash.
Come on.
She's gonna break soon.
Oh, the voice is in her head. Oh, no.
This is a time capsule.
Okay, it's just the band. Oh, she's happy again. She's at the bar.
It's like the dude from Counting Crows is the bassist.
What's the story here?
She's gonna break, and now she's... I don't know.
The way she laughed at the last shot was amazing. Half these shots are in slow-mo for no reason. That guy's eye contact is bugging me.
Yeah. Don't you know not to mug the camera, Jim?
He looks like a youth pastor.
The drummer looks like the guy from Smash Mouth. Everyone in the band looks like someone. Oh. She's on drugs.
She is on Molly. Oh, shit. Oh, no. Jump cut.
Jump cut. Them boys up to something.
Okay, now the band is in her bedroom.
Someone just threw...
Okay, glove spinning.
Oh, the used.
She's just throwing everything everywhere. She just screamed.
There's one guy like, okay.
Maybe she's being attacked, and this is how she's defending herself.
She just broke that IKEA shelf.
Oh,
was that a Groucho mask on the wall?
Bankson. I mean,
this got very Skins when she started taking the drugs, and now she's trashing the room.
What? I'm not tracking with this. Okay, now the dude's crowd surfing. Oh, no, it's a girl.
Is Alexis going to crowd surf? That's what I want to know.
She just keeps throwing stuff.
It's
do something
drugs,
else.
Dude.
Oh, she's having a bad trip?
I think she hates society. Is what, like, this is teenage
age. Oh, she's in the corner shaking.
Dude, I would be crazy. I'd be going crazy, too, if I
heard... that band was in my room?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I got dizzy, and I'm just imagining them. I love... how in the 90s we decided the trombones were cool to have in bands.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, but she's fine. Okay,
what?
Her friend just came
it?
Over and she's like totally
chill. She imagined
chill.
Trashing the place?
She's totally chill. One more shot.
She just imagined trashing everything.
Her friends. It was all before they went out.
Wait
for
a minute.
Real.
So this is crazy because... all right, now this is crazy because she...
Oh, there's another one with Michelle Trachtenberg.
Her friends come in, they're like happy, and then they look at her on the couch and they're like, what? Like, they look like the room's been trashed. Then they cut to her and she's like, no, I'm fine. Why are they upset?
Oh, so maybe her friends are tripping too.
This is a very crazy. I guess she was like thrashing around the room, just hearing the music, and it suggested that that's what she was imagining. Just like she's going crazy in her room, she's about to have the time of her life. And then she goes out with her friends.
When do you think she's going to break?
Soon. She's going to break soon. She's going to break soon.
She's going to break soon? Oh. She's going to break soon, ye. I would have liked that version more.
Oh, gross. God.
I didn't mean it.
I know you didn't, but I still, that's all I can hear. Woody, we hate you. Stay away from the show.
Woody, we hate you. Stay away from the show. But not the rest of you. We love you. And thank you for all your voicemails and emails for this episode today. You make this show blessed to do. Your constant approval is my lifeblood, and without it, I wither away and die. So keep sending it in if you want old daddy to stay living on this mortal coil.
I hate daddy. I hate it when you call him Big Papa.
I hate it when you call him Big Papa. Email the show, GilmoreGuysShow@gmail.com, or call in 772-934-4559. What is that number again?
772-WE-GILLY.
772-WE-GILLY. Thank you so much, everybody.
Bye.
Can we get one last dance number from Tony before we go?
It's Tony on the track, and it's time to dance. Gonna go and take Rory, gonna show her romance.
Dance.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.